Welcome back to the Divine Office podcast today. And we have some more beautiful prayers and readings. We're going to do the Office of Readings today. We're coming to the end of our Christmas tide, and that will only be until this Sunday. And then we're back to ordinary time, starting a new year of ordinary time from the very beginning. The antiphon, from Epiphany to the Feast of the Baptism of the Lord, for the invitatory is, Christ has appeared to us, come let us adore him. Lord, open my lips and my mouth will proclaim your praise. The Lord has appeared to us, come let us adore him. The Lord's is the earth in its fullness, Psalm 24, the world and all its peoples. It is he who set it on the seas, on the waters he made it firm. Christ has appeared to us, come let us adore him. Who shall climb the mountain of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? The man with clean hands and pure heart, who desires not worthless things, who has not sworn so as to deceive his neighbor. Christ has appeared to us, come let us adore him. He shall receive blessings from the Lord and reward from the God who saves him. Such are the men who seek him, seek the face of the God of Jacob. Christ has appeared to us, come let us adore him. O gates, lift high your heads, grow higher ancient doors, let him enter, the King of glory. Christ has appeared to us, come let us adore him. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, the mighty, the valiant, the Lord, the valiant in war. Christ has appeared to us, come let us adore him. O gates, lift high your heads, grow higher ancient doors, let him enter, the King of glory. Christ has appeared to us, come let us adore him. Who is he, the King of glory? He, the Lord of armies, he is the King of glory. Christ has appeared to us, come let us adore him. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Christ has appeared to us, come let us adore him. The Magi, when they see the child, draw forth their gifts from eastern lands, and falling down they worship him with incense, myrrh, and royal gold. Receive and own, O holy child, clear tokens of your kingly power, for which the Father preordained a threefold nature, type, and plan. From Seba, perfumed incense and gold proclaim you God and King, and fragrant dust of bitter myrrh foretells the tomb where you will lie. You stand alone, O Bethlehem, more noble than the greatest towns, for you brought forth in human flesh the heavenly leader sent to save. His father, by the testament that prophets witnessed, sealed, and signed, now bids him to assume his reign, receive his inheritance, a kingdom that extends to all, embracing earth and sea and sky, from rising sun to evening star, from nether world to heaven above. To you, Lord Jesus, glory be, revealed to nations on this day, with God the Father ever blessed and loving spirit ever one. Amen. And we are in week two of our Psalter, so we should look to Wednesday and try to find the psalms and prayers of for Wednesday, week two. Antiphon one is, we groan in pain as we await the redemption of our bodies. Psalm 39, the urgent prayer of a sick person. Creation is made subject to futility, by him who subjected it, but it is not without hope. Romans 8:20. I said I will be watchful of my ways, for fear I should sin with my tongue. I will put a curb on my lips when the wicked man stands before me. I was dumb, silent, and still. His prosperity stirred my grief. My heart was burning within me. At the thought of it, the fire blazed up, and my tongue burst into speech. O Lord, you have shown me my end. How short is the length of my days. Now I know how fleeting is my life. You gave me a short span of days. My life is as nothing in your sight. A mere breath, the man who stood so firm. A mere shadow, the man passing by. A mere breath, the riches he hoards, not knowing who will have them. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. We groan in pain as we await the redemption of our bodies. And we can also add a Hail Mary in here if you prefer. But Antiphon 2 from the official offices continues here with, "Hear and answer my prayer, O Lord. Let me not weep in vain." The second part of Psalm 39. "And now, Lord, what is there to wait for? In you rests all my hope. Set me free from all my sins. Do not make me the taunt of the fool. I was silent, not opening my lips, because this was all your doing. Take away your scourge from me. I am crushed by the blows of your hand. You punish man's sins and correct him, like the moth you devour all he treasures. Mortal man is no more than a breath. O Lord, hear my prayer. O Lord, turn your ear to my cry. Do not be deaf to my tears. In your house I am like a passing guest, a pilgrim like all of my fathers. Look away that I may breathe again before I depart to be no more. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen." From the Pope to the bishops to the catechists to the world, the whole church recites this ancient prayer and prays for one another as we experience the need to be purified from sin, the need to be freed from the burden of Adam's tendency to sin, as we ask God for a new start and a renewal of our dignity. "Do not be deaf to the tears of the people, especially the innocent ones crying out on behalf of the guilty people, but answer our prayers and come quickly to help us throughout this new year. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Hear and answer my prayer, O Lord. Let me not weep in vain. I have put all my trust in God's never-failing mercy." Psalm 52, against a calumniator. Calumniator is just a technical term for someone who makes up stories, defamatory accusations against someone else, makes up stories that defame someone else that are not true. "If anyone would boast, let him boast in the Lord." 1 Corinthians 1:31. "Why do you boast of your wickedness, you champion of evil, planning ruin all day long? Your tongue like a sharpened razor, you master of deceit. You love evil more than good, lies more than truth. You love the destructive word, you tongue of deceit. For this God will destroy you and remove you forever. He will snatch you from your tent and uproot you from the land of the living. The just shall see and fear. They shall laugh and say, 'Who is this? Who is the man who refused to take God as his stronghold, but trusted in the greatness of his wealth and grew powerful by his crimes?' But I am like a growing olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the goodness of God forever and ever. I will thank you forevermore for this you're doing. I will proclaim that your name is good in the presence of your friends. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Father, you cut down the unfruitful branch for burning and prune the fertile to make it bear more fruit. Make us grow like laden olive trees in your domain, firmly rooted in the power and mercy of your Son, so that you may gather from us fruit worthy of eternal life. Through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. I have put all my trust in God's never-failing mercy. Now the lesson for today, it is introduced by this verse. The Lord will teach us his ways, and we will follow in his footsteps. Psalm 63. verses 7 through 19. No, a reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah 63, 7 through 19. The mercy of the Lord is remembered by a people forsaken is the caption. The favors of the Lord I will recall. The glorious deeds of the Lord, because of all he has done for us. For he is good to the house of Israel. He has favored us according to his mercy and his great kindness. He said, they are indeed my people, children who are not disloyal. So he became their savior in their every affliction. It was not a messenger or an angel, but he himself who saved them. Because of his love and pity, he redeemed them himself, lifting them and carrying them all the days of old. But they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. So he turned on them like an enemy and fought against them. Then they remembered the days of old and Moses his servant. Where is he who brought up out of the sea the shepherd of his flock? Where is he who put his Holy Spirit in their midst, whose glorious arm was the guide at Moses' right, who divided the waters before them, winning for himself eternal renown, who led them without stumbling through the depths, like horses in the open country, like cattle going down into the plain, the Spirit of the Lord guiding them. Thus you led your people, bringing your glory to your name, bringing glory to your name. Look down from heaven and regard us from your holy and glorious palace. Where is your zealous care and your might, your surge of pity and your mercy? O Lord, hold not back, for you are our Father. Were Abraham not to know us, nor Israel to acknowledge us, you, O Lord, are our Father, our Redeemer, you are named forever. Why do you let us wander, O Lord, from your ways, and harden your hearts, and harden our hearts, so that we fear you not? Return for the sake of your servants, the tribes of your inheritance. Why have the wicked invaded your holy place? Why have our enemies trampled your sanctuary? Too long have we been like those whom you do not rule, who do not bear your name. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down with the mountains quaking before you. Responsory prayer. Lord, we are like those over whom you do not rule, like those who do not hear your name. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down. We have yearned for justice and there is none, for salvation and is kept far from us. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down. Our second reading from the tradition of the Church is from a rather unknown father of the Church. It's from a sermon by Saint Procolius of Constantinople, one of the patriarchs of Constantinople, a bishop. The waters are made holy. Christ appeared in the world, and bringing beauty out of disarray, gave it luster and joy. He bore the world's sin and crushed the world's enemy. He sanctified the fountains of waters and enlightened the minds of men. Into the fabric of miracles he interwove ever greater miracles. For on this day, land and sea share between them the grace of the Savior, and the whole world is filled with joy. Today's Feast of the Epiphany manifests even more wonders than the Feast of Christmas. On the feast of the Savior's birth, the earth rejoiced because it bore the Lord in a manger. But on today's feast of the Epiphany, it is the sea that is glad and leaps for joy. The sea is glad because it receives the blessing of holiness in the River Jordan. At Christmas, we saw a weak baby giving proof of our weakness. In today's feast, we see a perfect man, hinting at the perfect Son who proceeds from the all-perfect Father. At Christmas, the King puts on the royal robe of his body. At Epiphany, the very source enfolds and, as it were, clothes the river. Come then and see new and astounding miracles, the Sun of Righteousness washing in the Jordan, fire immersed in water, God sanctified by the ministry of man. Today every creature shouts in resounding song. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he who comes in every age, for this is not his first coming. And who is he? Tell us more clearly, I beg you. Blessed David. The Lord is God and has shone upon us. David is not alone in prophesying this. The Apostle Paul adds his own witness, saying, the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all men and instructing us, not for some men, but for all. For Jews and Greeks alike, God bestows salvation through baptism, offering baptism as a common grace for all. Come consider this new and wonderful deluge, greater and more important than the flood of Noah's day. Then the water of the flood destroyed the human race, but now the water of baptism has recalled the dead to life by the power of the one who was baptized. In the days of the flood, the dove with an olive branch in its beak foreshadowed the fragrance of the good odor of Christ and the Lord. Now the Holy Spirit, coming in the likeness of a dove, reveals the Lord of mercy. Responsory prayer. Today, Jesus, light from light, whom John baptized in the Jordan, has appeared to us. We believe that he was born of the Virgin Mary. The heavens opened above him, and the voice of the Father was heard. We believe that he was born of the Virgin Mary. God, light of all nations, give us the joy of lasting peace, and fill us with your radiance, as you filled the hearts of our fathers. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. Let us praise the Lord and give him thanks. So to begin with, I'd like to add on the intercessions from morning prayer and pray them with you outside the liturgy. And I'd also like to say a few Hail Marys. In the fullness of time, the eternal Word was begotten of the Father. He is the child who is born for us, the Son who is given to us. To him we lift our voices in joy. Praise be to you, Lord. Son of the living God, you existed before the world was made, and you came on earth to save all. Enable us to be witnesses to your gospel. Son of justice, whose brightness shone forth from the bosom of the Father and flooded the entire world, be light for all who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death. You became a little child and lay in a manger. Renew in us the simplicity of little children. For our sake, you became the living bread of eternal life. Fill us with joy through the sacrament of your altar. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and for all of your personal intentions, praise be to you, Lord. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. In honor of the Father's gifts to Mary, our great Queen and Mother of God, and for the Holy Father's monthly intention, that people affected by war, migration, and other disasters may be able to receive the right to the help that they need to obtain a good education. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Spread the effective grace of thy flame of love over all of humanity, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed for the same intention. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Glory to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. So I think that's a good monthly intention for this month. Normally, I would pray one Hail Mary in honor of the Father's gifts to Mary, the Son's, and the Holy Spirit's, and that's kind of a devotion to help me bring Mary into some of my prayers. But in any case, yesterday we spoke about the rite of baptism. And I think these days leading up to the baptism of the Lord are a great time for us to thank God for the journey of being united to the person of Christ in this powerful sacrament, to thank God for the gift of our baptism. But to do that, let's remind ourselves of some of the scriptures that the Holy Spirit has mediated through people to be written in the Bible for our instruction. Now, this one is from Revelation 22, but you can find the idea of the seal of the living God in other parts. This is from the very end of the book, and it speaks of the New Jerusalem in the hereafter and in the new creation, and it says nothing accursed will be found there anymore. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will look upon his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. Night will be no more, nor will they need light from the lamp or the sun, for the Lord God shall give them light, and they shall reign with him forever. Secondly, Paul the Apostle will speak inspired in his understanding, and he will say in 2 Corinthians 1:21, "Now it is God who establishes us both, and you, both us and you, in Christ. He anointed us, placed his seal on us, and put his spirit in our hearts as a pledge of what is to come." So it's worth noting that there are various interpretations of what this name or this seal on the foreheads of the people of God that they keep into the eternal hereafter is. But one thing that it is, and I know that the Spirit has placed this here as no coincidence, is an elaboration of the sacramental character. It's an elaboration of this idea that Paul had spoken of, that Christ had sent his Spirit into our hearts to unite us with him, and had actually placed a kind of mark of ownership, like a little ownership seal impressed into clay on us, so that we could never be forsaken or lost again, or cast off by God again. But this is a kind of a mystical vision that John has, and he sees kind of an elaboration of what this actually does to someone. So it's even more than you saw with Paul. And you know, yesterday we prayed, or rather we looked at this rite of baptism. So the rite asks us to be filled with, to be clothed in Christ and filled and inundated with his light. So I didn't really get into the explanatory rites, but they help us a lot to understand this. First, there's words accompanying each one of the symbolic garment and the candle, and it says, "Name, you have become a new creation and have clothed yourself in Christ. See in this white garment the outward sign of your Christian dignity. With your family and friends to help you by word and example, bring that dignity unstained into the everlasting life of heaven." And the response is, "Amen." So again, having had this discussion many times with Protestants about the waters of baptism and for 2 Peter, I know that probably the biggest kind of dissension or difference between our view and their view is the sacramental character. But more than that, I think there's a really big guff, because Protestants also value baptism, but they will see it more as something for adults to seal in the righteousness that they already have by faith in many cases. So it's just good to note that even as we have this highly sacramentalized view, we do believe that the Spirit has descended and has gone into the person to make them a temple of the Holy Spirit and done something transformative to their soul, so that they will bear the name of God in this special mystical way forever. Even with that, it's important to realize that we don't believe it's one and done and everything is just fine, or that sanctifying grace in our relationship with God is just reducible to some external, to some ceremony or to some magical thing. Rather, Thomas Aquinas says that we have to relate to God by way of contemplation, because we are rational creatures. And what that means for us today is that, you know, there's a reality behind the external sign. So if I'm ignoring my faith, if I'm oblivious to my faith, and I don't understand what being united to Christ is all about, it's not as if me being baptized necessarily endows me with the fullness of the, doesn't necessarily endow you with all the blessings that baptism is meant to. So it's not as if we're saying, well, the more sacraments that you receive, the better you are, or they just happen by magic. There's nothing else that has to be done other than the ceremony. So I just wanted to include that, because that's a major issue. Baptism remits personal and mortal and venial, as well as original sin. So again, this is a big topic, But first, let's talk about the candle. Candle has to do with several different things. You know, in the early church, we had the patristic fathers, and they spoke of this illumination of baptism. So we are inundated with the light of Christ, who is himself the light of the world at baptism. And again, the Spirit comes into us, inundates us, and electrifies us, shining with light as a temple of the Holy Spirit, and does something to permanently change us so that we bear God's name. But that also means that we have to be the light of faith. It says here, parents and godparents, this light is entrusted to you to be kept burning brightly. This child of yours has been enlightened by Christ. He or she is to walk always as a child of the light. May he or she keep the flame of faith alive in his or her heart. When the Lord comes, may he or she go out to meet him with all the saints in the heavenly kingdom. So the idea here is the flame of faith. So there's an enlightening of the mind, as the fathers say. There's a way in which the entire world looks different in the light of faith. And this is the light of our minds, the light of our faith. So we're also to be inundated with those gifts of the Holy Spirit, to be inundated with the Holy Spirit's light of wisdom, of understanding, of counsel. And again, this is something that is not just done once and done, but something that is to encompass the rest of your life, and it is a journey through the rest of your life, to be able to allow that light to inundate you and to make you a translucent instrument of Christ, like I talked about mission when I mentioned this briefly, as one implication of this, that we, like the Easter candle, we radiate the light of Christ. When the big candle, the light of Christ, the light of the world, lights up all of us and makes us little candles. So in any case, let's thank God for the gift of our baptism. Thank God for all the sponsors and all the parents and all the guardians and all the catechists and ministers that work with baptism and to help us get baptized, because this really is a powerful character sacrament that changes us as the Holy Spirit comes down and descends upon us, swooping down upon us, just like at Christ's baptism, the Spirit descends and acknowledges him as the beloved Son of God. So here the Spirit descends upon us, shines his light into us, radiates through us, and changes us, marking us forever, signing us as his own.